following programming is sponsored by Factorum Business Solutions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
You ready, C?
I'm ready.
How about you, Whitney?
I think so.
Why don't we hold up the line?
Okay.
Welcome to the Tone and Tone Show, Bipartisan Voice of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edwards.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is @ToneAndTenor. Our Instagram handle is @ToneAndTenorRadio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Our topic today is split into two parts, paternal rights in education and driving factors of inflation. Joining us in the show, we're waiting on her to call in or Zoom in, will be Consuela, a.k.a. C.J. Jordan. She's a former assistant to the Secretary of Commerce, former CEO of Jordan Management Group, a firm focused on politics and business. She served as a deputy political director for the RNC with a responsibility for minority business participation. She has devoted her time to minority recruiting for the United States Military Academy at West Point, among other academies, as is the co-founder of I Am Not a Hero Foundation. We'll add to this once CJ comes in and joins us. But, you know, before she comes in, some of the things that are going on around the country and locally, Pat, I know you've been been out of the city and out of the state for a minute. And come Monday, there may be a possibility here in the city of Philadelphia that the indoor mask mandate may be put back into place because the COVID-19, the BA2 variant is on the rise in the city of Philadelphia.
You know, so, it's like a new dance move every week with this COVID variant stuff. I just found out that one of my nephews in Florida has something called long COVID. I haven't done the full blown out research. But the reason why I've been out, my cousin Jenica, you know, she got into a really bad car accident this week, and my brother, you know, he had cancer and they cut it out of him. So hopefully it stays out of him. Mm. And my other cousin Esther is not well. She's actually in a coma. Oh, so everybody who's been, you know, praying all the, you know, text messages, Facebook, I really appreciate that. You know, it's been a trying time for our family. Mm-hmm. But we definitely appreciate the positive vibes.
Right. You know, our prayers, as you know, always go out to you and your family and to all those that are suffering with some type of illness or family loss or what have you. But we want to really look at it. You know, people think you're starting to hear folks talk about this pandemic as it being over. You know, you hear things say, well, the pandemic's over. Let's think about this. You know, look at this. Your Speaker of the House, Senator Warnock, and several members that were together at the historic vote, as well as the vice president, one of the members of the vice president's staff, have contracted COVID-19. They don't know how many more people, and you will see there's a picture of the Speaker of the House kissing the president after the historic vote. So, you know, but he still is, you know, everybody around him has gotten COVID, but he still hasn't had COVID. And, you know, you don't know whether President Barack Obama has contracted it, but he was there. There's a lot of folks stop thinking this is business as usual. We still live in a time when COVID is still, people don't know how it's being transmitted. It's still a process. And be mindful, because as we move into the summer and to the other, and onward to the bigger events and all of that, we can have another uptick in COVID-19. You know, so be mindful, people. This is not over. Folks in the city of Philadelphia, it's not over. In the state of Pennsylvania, it's not over. In the United States, it's not over. And if you look in, I believe it's China, they have gone on lockdown again. And the food is being delivered to the families. They're not even allowed out the house.
Wow. Crazy.
You know, so be mindful, you know, be mindful, continue to wash your hands, continue to be mindful of where your surroundings, who you come in contact with, whatever. Just be mindful that this is not over. Don't let your guard down too much.
Yeah, absolutely. Seriously, on the wash your hands stuff, people. I mean, I was in the airport the other night, Randall, like, I seen three dudes walk out without washing, and I really wanted to cuss them out. But like one,
guarantee there were the same three dudes that when this first started, that never washed their hands, but started washing their hands. But now that they believe it's over, they're gone.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so disgust, and I'm just looking at this in pure disgust. And I'm washing my hands like what are y'all doing? Like, that's the same reason why the Black Plague happened. So a lot of people don't know the story, but just real quick, the doctors would work on dead bodies in the morning, mm-hmm. and then go deliver babies in the afternoon and the evening. And they didn't wash their hands.
Right.
And then, so they killed a bunch of people's kids.
You know, a lot of, if you think about it, Pat, and, you know, we're not beating a dead horse about this, but your hands, germs are transmitted. That's why they try to make sure youngsters wash their hands. If young people have to wash their hands, the adult needs to wash their hands. But, you know, I've seen it, you've seen it, everybody's seen it. You know, people do what they're going to do in the bathroom and boom, walk right out. You know, and then they go, especially in grocery stores and in the supermarkets, they'll go out and then start touching the food, start touching the merchandise, start touching. You know, be mindful. You know, it's interesting how when this first started, how when they started opening up the supermarkets and what have you, they had people to make sure the carts were clean, to make sure this was done, to make sure the other was done. And now it's like, okay, back to business as usual.
Yeah, because that's all it's about. It's about money. But I'm gonna be a lot less politically correct. Stop being trifling and wash your hands, please. Like,
at least I was holding my breath because I thought you were gonna say something different.
No. It's trifling. Like, that's the best word I could. It is. Like, the stuff that ends up under your nails. Like, come on, y'all. Like, wash your hands.
Yeah.
Run them up under some hot water. I mean, it's chlorine in our water. So, I mean, something. But, I mean, it is detestable to, knowing what's going on, to walk out of a bathroom of all places and not wash your hands.
But these would be the same people that would complain if that bathroom was dirty. Riddle me that one. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure where CJ, you know, she's down there in Washington. I've reached back out to make sure, well, when she comes in. But we can continue with this. We're going to reverse this a little bit. We're going to talk with the driving factors of inflation. I was on the elevator coming up today, Pat, and the global food supply chain is up 13%. Last month was up, the cost up 13%.
Yeah, from what, I'm not sure. Because if we farmed locally, we wouldn't have this problem. I bet you that.
But you know,
we are in a farm state, much like Maryland and our neighbors. So,
no. But if you tell folks that Philadelphia was farmland, they would argue with you. But if you know the history, right? You know, we. Ridge Avenue, where they run and all of that, that was called, that was this thoroughfare to the summer houses of the city in what's known now as Germantown, Mount Airy, West Mount Airy, et cetera, et cetera. And they would take their horse and buggies and come down to the city. But their summer homes were up in the area where you live at. That's where their mansions were.
Yeah.
And the farms.
Well, Lemon Hill's a little bit south, but yeah.
And the farms. I mean, there's the school we are affiliated with and the church we're affiliated with. They built that church there to overlook the banks of the Schuylkill River and for the peace and the quiet of the area and the accessibility, which was now known as Ridge Pike. I believe it was called Ridge Lane, Ridge Path, I forgot the actual name, to Straight
yeah,
Shot
I think
downtown.
It was named after Governor. Yeah, it was named after Governor Tom Ridge.
but Ridge, but this Ridge, you know, but this is what why it was built. And now when you look at it, it's the hustle and bustle of, and the city, you know, this is a valley. And like you said, but there was a article that the urban cities are now getting back into farming or bringing farming to urban cities. You know, it's like a light bulb going on. You know, when I walk around the city or I hear people talking about canning or I hear people talking about composting or all, that's nothing new.
Yeah.
People, that's
Whole Foods been doing that for a while. They used to grill their own food until I think Dick Gregory talked about that like in the 50s or something. Mm-hmm. Like canned food became popular, and then you know the TV dinners in the 60s and 70s, and then McDonald's, you know, so on and so forth.
But when McDonald's came around, McDonald's was a luxury for us. If you went to McDonald's or were allowed to go to McDonald's, it was a luxury. But then it's now every day for some people. But if you start adding up how much a family of four spends at McDonald's, what you can do if you go to the grocery store or supermarket, or how many seeds or what have you can buy to plant, and then learn how to cook it.
These are crimes of convenience. You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's a crime of convenience, Pat. But think about this. You know, one of our dear friends up in a councilman in Norristown that we work with posted a post the other day of the chickens walking around the city of Norristown. The same right here in Philadelphia, you got people raising chickens at 46 and Market Street.
Yeah, there was some legislation passed. I think they did that as well as Upper Darby was actually fighting to create spaces where they can have, safely have chicken coops.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, unfortunately, when they don't have free range to roam, it can get kind of hairy. So, I'm interested to see how that, you know, what that looks like, though. I am.
But the other side of it, of this thing, you know, food is not just up. You know, our gasoline prices are up. You know, again, and you called it months ago. You know, you heard it from Pat. Pat talked about the reserves that the United States has. President Biden has finally going to release 100 million barrels a day. But the caveat was, what was funny, the caveat to the whole thing was, well, don't expect the prices to come down rapidly.
Yeah, that's absolute nonsense. Again, we invaded countries with oil for 20 years, y'all. I'm sorry, there's no nice way to say this. Y'all can take this however you want. It doesn't make any sense. It's counter-logic to me.
And
now we have 200 years of reserves. And you're going to release hundreds of thousands of barrels a day? And you're talking about the price? There's nobody. Like, come on, man.
But people stood in gasoline at the pump and watched the prices change before their eyes. Not once, not twice, but three times. I mean, this literally was caught on a TV show. A TV news station showing this happening. And it was blamed on the war in Russia. And then all of a sudden, it comes down that the oil companies are being dragged across the red carpet because they're the ones, they're now being the scapegoats, saying, oh, they raised the prices. But in the beginning, it was a war between Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah, which is nonsense. That doesn't affect that much. And then the other thing is, these gas companies have not paid taxes, right? And they were, oh man, I was about to curse. So they are griping and grieving, I think it was like 3 years ago when the state legislature and, not all the state legislature, let me be clear, part of the state legislature and Governor Wolf was like, y'all need to pay taxes. You guys haven't paid anything or given us any money since the 70s. I'm confused.
Well, think about this.
And pure profit. You know what I'm saying?
But think about this. The great University of Pennsylvania located here in the city of Philadelphia, nonprofit, pays no taxes. But they do pay. Now, let's get it straight now. The employees, they do pay the taxes on the employers. Anything else? The first thing out of this, out of the University of Pennsylvania and all of the major institutions here in the city of Philadelphia, and probably at other ones across the country, is that we are here in Philly. University of Pennsylvania is the largest employer in the city of Philadelphia. And that is what they stand by when somebody brings up the fact that they need to pay their fair share.
Yeah, but again, I get that. But again, does that lead you to be absolved of being corporately responsible? I mean, it's the same. We see the same crap with all these developers. I was just talking to somebody this morning about this in a meeting where, you know, because, you know, we know that right now we're sought after and looked at as like a super crime riddled city. But there's this narrow section of folks of Philadelphia that are absolutely beautiful. That you would love to stay at, but it gets overshadowed and overcasted because of a lot of the high numbers of violence and so on and so forth. Yeah, we have police issues, but again, there's more per capita, there's more black people or more whatever people could be. People kill and steal and do crime in proximity to where they live or who they live next to. So let's just be crystal clear.
And not to cut you off, and these people that are jumping up and down and running their mouths and are benefactors of all of this money that was given out in one way, one shape or form, know who these shooters are. Let's not get it twisted, you know, but crime pays. Think about it. Crime pays. But when do you really sit down? And how many more lives, young lives now, are lost before something, real solutions, come to the table? You know, when do we say enough is enough? We can get upset over the slap of herd around the world and start defending going back and forth. But when it comes down to our young people, their education, their lives, we don't stand up. Well, with that note, Pat, let's hold your thought. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll continue the discussion. And, you know, with everything going on in Washington, you know, we'll hear from CJ. But if not, we'll continue this conversation and these topics. You're listening to Tony Tanner here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
There's a blood red circle on the cold dark ground. Church door's thrown open, I can hear the organ song, and the congregation's gone. My city of ruins, my city of ruins. Now the sweet bells of mercy trees, young men on the corner like scattered leaves. The boarded up windows, the empty streets, are my brothers down on his knees. My city of ruins,
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edwards. I'm Pat Edwards.
Not a problem. Our show's topic today is paternal rights and education, driving factors of inflation, two parts. And we started off talking about the driving factors of inflation. And, you know, what's interesting, Pat, again, you know, my city's in ruins. Before I came in today, there was a report that the city of Philadelphia is sitting on a bunch of COVID money that they did not distribute it. But the city council wants it distributed because we're now, like everyone else, they're going through budget process. And they believe that this money should be distributed. Well, it's been, they said, finance director, I believe, said if it's distributed, the city will be at a loss. Instead of doing it incrementally, they want the city, the council wants it thrown in the pot all at one time. Instead of it going out in increments.
That's a clear testament to what I'm always talking about, reactive instead of proactive legislative actions. Because a lot of these folks don't really spend enough time in their communities, or they spend a lot of time in the safer part of their district.
Wait a minute. They spend a lot of time in their communities.
No, they do.
They spend the time where they can get good photos and good photo ops. And whose birthday party they're at and whose fundraiser they're at and who's in town. Come on, Pat. And then, not to cut you off, you're absolutely right. The safer part of their communities. You're absolutely right, Pat. You there?
Oh. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's just unfortunate, you know what I mean? Because when people send you to City Hall, Harrisburg, or D.C., you know, there's an expectation. And, I mean, this is why civics is important. Unfortunately, when I'm at work, I spend more time teaching people about civics than actually helping them on a constituent level or, you know, doing the other things I do, like, you know, writing speeches and newsletters, whatever the case is. But it's troublesome. That in the age of information, you know, we have, you know, smart water, smartphones, smart cars, but, you know, people are as lazy and as dumb as ever when it comes to information. Like, there's really, at this point, there's no excuse. You know, we have, you know, but I think Denzel said something to this effect, like, you know, it's better to be misinformed than uninformed, but if you listen to the news, you're uninformed. I mean, you're misinformed.
Mm-hmm.
Because news outlets aren't committed to excellence. What that means is, so like I've told you guys before, folks, anytime you hear Randall and myself on this, and there's some other shows too that are on this station, you're listening to, you know, years of experience and hours of research, right? Mm-hmm. We don't wake up and like, oh, we're going to pop up and do a show today. Like, no, there's conversations that Randall and I have over months, over weeks. And there's a bunch of research that's done that goes into these scripts. So I just want to be very crystal clear on that. Mm-hmm. So when you're in your feelings about, particularly what I say, because I'm younger, right? Randall has some rank on me. So he can say whatever you want to say. I haven't graduated to that quite yet. But
really? You could have fooled me.
No. Huh?
You could have fooled me.
I appreciate that. But, you know, that's why we're so passionate about certain things, especially things that are, you know,
especially things that affect people. You know, we're passionate about our own people, but we're passionate about the whole pie. Because once you start cutting the pie up, you see what starts to happen. When that pie is divided, you got this group over here, you got that group over here, and you got the group that gets nothing out of the pie, if there's anything left in the pie plate. You know, and this is, you know, another thing that wants to be done in this budget. And again, in one way I agree, in another way I disagree. the council member of the 3rd Councilmanic District wants to take vacant lots and give them to nonprofits. But the problem that I have with this, and I've said it, and I will continue to say it, if these folks aren't on track now, and you're giving them an asset in what could possibly be a gentrified area, and what is going to be in place to keep them from making a profit from them? Right now, Black Lives Matter is under scrutiny, and people are calling for DOJ to investigate their practices when it comes to real estate. They bought a $6 million mansion. So why give something that is taxpayers' money to someone and these folks aren't on track? Ladies and gentlemen, that's an acronym here. You'll hear it here on Tone and Tenor. It's called transparency, responsibility, accountability, credibility, and knowledge. That is the most important thing to have. That is why you have so many. We are now going into midterm elections, and you have so many people that want, and Pat says this all the time, you can run, but make sure you understand why you're running. You can be passionate about a idea or a something, but if you can't bring that to fruition and you're just running, because some of these folks out there, you know, we're talking about economics, we're talking about inflation. These folks don't see it because Pennsylvania is one of three states where your representatives and our senators are full-time, making upwards of 5 to 6 figures. When in comparison, and Pat and I talked about this the other day, the lieutenant governor of Virginia, part-time job, makes $36,000.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's real, but, you know, just to bring it all the way around, I do know two people, one guy who's from West and one guy that's from South Philly, who have actually presented stuff to council folks in the 3rd and the 4th district. One was actually a program to teach kids how to be butchers. Had the whole proposal all drafted up and, you know, nothing, no dice. You know, another young man who had a program, he already actually had the partnership in play with PHA. It actually falls under, I think, called Section 3 or Title 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a pretty cool program, y'all, which deals with construction, but it was going to give people some equity in equity in their community. Radio silence, right? Because how this individual feels about this person's employer. Like, what does one thing have to do with the other? And, you know, Randall, like, we've had, you know, We did a project where people didn't necessarily agree with each other, but everybody knew that it was for the betterment of the community, where we had a local nonprofit, we had a city council member, and we had a local bank, you know, that footed the bill for the project and pretty much paid for everything. Like, this is what is going to get us out of this muck and mire, folks.
Like, this is what's going to help turn around, you know, and all across this country, all across this nation, and I led with the 13% global food, but as you come around, you're seeing more and more food pantries or fresh foods being picked up. People that have gotten the $15. Now this was on World News. Lady got her job, went to job, got to $15 an hour, came, went to work, could buy groceries and all that. Boom, gas prices. Boom, clothing prices. Boom, this went up, that went up. She again had to, family of four, figure out bills versus food, and then had to go back to the food pantries. And the food pantries are, and the food distribution places are being stretched. You know, and the only way to get out of some of these situations is to invest in yourself and in the community, really invest in the community, and learn to grow. Go back to what brought us to where we are. Well, wait a minute. Go back to what previously we used to do. You know, as Pat alluded to it. You know, what was a TV dinner? I believe Swanson was like the first one.
I think so.
You know, one of the first ones was Swanson. You know, canning, you know, you mentioned canning. Well, canning, you know, everyone in the South would grow and then can the vegetables and everything, getting ready for winter. You know, there's smokehouses where they smoke the meat, getting ready for winter. You know, we've got to get ready. You know, we have to, you know, economically, inflation, you can't continue to rely on the governments of your municipality, your state, or your of the nation. Because right now, everything is going down party lines. It's not about the people. It's about the party. If I don't like Pat because he's Republican or independent, and he don't like me because I'm Republican, Democrat, or independent, nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. You know, we can see, yes, congratulations to the young lady that became the first black female on the Supreme Court, but it changed the makeup, but not the decision makers. Excuse me.
Yeah, but the fact that we're still saying the first black anything or the first woman this, at this point is absurd. If we're talking about democracy and
we're talking about, you know, progress.
Yeah, like, but again, progressive doesn't mean you or me. It don't mean black. I can tell you that, you know. But yeah, this is just like, we're so hung up on language, we're not concerned with action. And then we end up confusing activity with accomplishment, right? There's a lot mm-hmm. of song and dance and backflips and things that we find to be impressive, even with beautiful language.
But those are smoke and mirrors, right?
Any action. I wouldn't even say smoke and mirrors at this point. It's just smoke. Smoke screen, rather.
And that's a lot of it going on. And, you know, it's a lot of that going on. And, you know, well, we're gonna take a break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the education, and we're going to talk about some of the things that are sitting in Congress. And, you know, hopefully we'll recircle back around next week or the following weeks with CJ again. She's down there in Washington. She's doing what she has to do. And this is not the first time, but this is why Pat and I, like he said, we do research. We can talk, even if our guest doesn't make it, we can talk what needs to be said and to help inform our listeners. You're listening to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 out of beautiful Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up for
the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's not all that Peter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up.
Sky. Take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you will look for yours on earth. And now you see the light, you stand up for your rights. Yeah.
Get up, stand up,
jump, jump.
Stand up for your rights.
Welcome back to Tony Turner here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. I'm Randall Jefferson. Hello, Pat.
Sorry, I'm Pat Edward. I had to mute myself.
That's okay, brother. That's okay. Our topics today are paternal rights and education driving factors of inflation. We touched a little bit about what drives inflation. But, you know, part of this session was supposed to be talking about what's going on and what paternal rights are, and as far as education goes. And we see that across the country, there's several bills being passed in several different states. But there's two sitting in the 117th Congress, H.R. 6056, and it has 109 co-sponsors. And this bill actually, which is interesting, this bill is to ensure the rights are honored and protected in the nation's public schools. That's what it is. Amendments to Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965. So what they're doing is, you know, basically striking, adding this, doing that, you know, annual local education agency report cards, you know, what the powers, the U.S. government, and think of it this way. The money, the government does not, the Department of Education does not tell everyone what to do. They are a funding source for your state governments. Most of your what's run by the state, but the Constitution and the bills from our nation's capital is what gives them the roadmap to do what they need to do. And there's a couple of things out there, just like here in Philadelphia. You know, we've got a new superintendent coming on board, as we talked about last week. He's going to do a listening tour. But there's bills out there that we should not have six schools. If our present superintendent and the underlings were doing their jobs, they would have filed the reports that show which schools already have asbestos and what is being done. It's supposed to be done every 3 years. Every 3 years. So as we sit here, laws are created, but they're not enforced.
Yeah, but all laws are not created equal. We know that.
And think about it. Right. And only 3%. Only 3% of the bill will actually become law. Of bills that come out of Congress, out of your House of Representatives, out of your state houses. The majority that become law are your citations? You know, those little glory pieces of paper given, declaring it Padded War Day, and all of those are the things that go unanimously through. Things that really affect a person's life, they can't see the eye to eye. And that's everywhere. And don't blame it on the Republicans. Don't blame it on the Democrats. All need to take their fair share, because it's a power game, power struggle, and that's what it is. Call it what it is. And you have to look at these. You know, you have another bill out here in the 117th Congress sitting in the referred to the House Committee on Education, and it's called the CRT Transparency Bill, H.R. 5162. When this bill, to summarize it, is the bill requires a local educational agency, in order to receive certain federal education grants, to post on a publicly accessible website the curriculum of each grade level of its elementary and secondary schools. Pat, how many parents are going to go out there and look at it? How many parents even know that curriculum should be? I mean, and this is sitting in committee. This was passed. It was sent to committee on 9/3/2021. This is the 117th Congress. So you know most likely it's going to die in committee, where most bills do die. And 57 sponsors are on this. But this is a straight down party line sponsorship of bills. We can't continue to function like this. And you see what happens when we have all one party in place, whether it's in your local governments or your state government or your federal government. We've got organized chaos. That's what we got. That's what it is. We can sit here all day long and we can dissect this, but until we have folks, once they're elected and they're held accountable, let's not just use the word accountable, let's hold them accountable. When people start to hold folks accountable, they get major pushback. Oh, that's not the way we do it. Oh, well, last week we did it this way. Oh, well, you know, under so-and-so, we did it this way. Well, you know, we don't really have to look at that law. If you pass a daggone law, then enforce it. Now you, in most of your cities and your municipalities, you can't hire law enforcement. Now that's the problem. Oh, we don't have enough law enforcement that covers our cities. Well,
yes, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I used to get into so much trouble when I wrote policy, because I always asked who was going to pay for this.
But the problem is, you can pay for it, but the money's there. The money's there. You know, remember when there was a line-by-line audit here in the city of Philadelphia? All these funds were allegedly missing, and then they allegedly, they were put in the wrong, on the ledger wrong. How many people got fired? How many heads rolled? That's an excuse. If they don't know how to do the accounting and don't know how, then they should not be in that job. All because they're a friend of a friend of a friend. That's the same thing with the judgeships nowadays. Ketanji Jackson, let's really think about this. You know, whether we want to really look at it as what it is, or we want to look at some of the judges locally or the state, that there is too many elected officials driving the forces of getting judges in those seats nowadays. I remember when Juanita Norwood was running for counsel at large, and I remember when Judge Renee Hughes, who is a corporate lawyer, had not tried a case, but because of who her husband was and soon to be ex-husband was, taking her, and anybody want to challenge me on it, they can. Every ward meeting that we walked, we kept crisscrossing, and Vincent Hughes was introducing him to the polls, to her to the polls, so that she could get elected. And Renee, Judge Hughes, and I don't know what her record was, but some say she was a good judge. I did not follow her record, but she had not prosecuted any kind of criminal law. She was a corporate lawyer. When judgeships become part of the political process, you know, that takes away from the people, because when you look at it, if
Pat,
huh? What'd you say, Pat?
No, you got it.
No, but that takes away. I mean, you think about it, because somebody knows somebody who knows somebody. And a judge is not supposed to be fraternizing all over the place or in a corner being whispered in the ear. Yeah, people, I said it. That is why we have the corruption that we have today. That is why redistricting, the job of the politicians, the elected officials, eventually the courts have to make the decision when it comes to redistricting. Because the folks you elect don't want to do their job, but then they want to leave it to the courts so they can blame the courts.
Yeah, but judges don't write legislation. Legislators do.
Yeah, but there's the influence, you know. You know, there's an influence. We all know what time it is. We all know where we're going. We all know that our cities need to come back. You know, and some statistics that are really bad, and we're going to talk about education on another day, but there's some statistics out there, the disparity is what's really, really hurtful. And these are facts, not fiction. These are not my numbers. These are people that actually went and did the research. With that said, Pat, we're up against the clock. You do what you do what you would. You have any last thoughts, you know, to all of those that are running for an office? Get ready.
Nah, listen. You know, I appreciate anybody that has the balls to run, but when you're in running, please, you know, run or vote in your best interest, or the best interest of your community. But know that your vote is stronger when it's in unison with other people that have the same ideals, understanding, or dynamics, or community dynamics as you do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, I'm off my soapbox.
Well, with that said, I'll take us home today. We want to thank Wes, our engineer. Thank you for everything. Thank you to all of those over here at WWDB that keep us on the air and help us do what we need to do. Follow us on social media. On Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/tonetenor, all one word. We're still out there in the community. You can find Pat. You can find any member of Team Tone and Tenor all around this country and in this city and in this state. Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People, Talk Radio Show. I'm Randall Jefferson. I guess Pat went mute again on us.
Oh, I'm here.
I said, I'm Randall Jefferson.
Yeah. I'm Pat Edwards. See y'all next week. Or listen to us next week.